Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a look at a company that's currently raising funds on Cedars. The company is Signature Brew. It's based in East London, has a number of pubs and outlets, as well as a brewery based in East London. They've been met with very strong demand so far on Cedars. At the time of recording, of their 700,000 target, they're currently at 113%. So that's in overfunding, been met by very strong demand. So we're going to be discussing the business model. We're going to be looking at the wider market and where the company has come from. And to do that, we're very kindly joined by Tom Botts, who's the Managing Director and co-founder of Signature Brew. Tom, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Nice to see you, Jonathan.
So, Tom, as I mentioned, East London based, looking here at some of the details on Cedars at the moment, 5.3 million run rate for 2023 based on numbers from April to September. So we're going to be talking about how you've achieved your growth a little bit later on in the podcast. Also to note, you won the Brewery of the Year in 2018 and 2021. But so before we get into the business model in great detail, Tom, start looking at why you're at on Cedars and looking at what you're going to be doing with those funds, please would you be able to give us an introduction to Signature Brew and your journey so far, please?
Yeah, absolutely. And I will try and keep this first answer to as short as possible. Could easily fill up the entire podcast. But yes, Signature Brew was founded by myself and my cousin Sam. We are a brewer and a musician. I'm the brewer, he's a musician. And we found ourselves in the early 2010s, both working in those respective fields. And I grew up in the beer industry and learned about brewing and great beer and what beer can mean for communities and what the industry does and how it works. And Sam did so in the music industry and was a touring band tour manager, and then latterly worked in the burgeoning social media scene, just as that was becoming a thing with musicians in the early days. And he was working with artists such as The Prodigy to Mick Hucknall and everything else in between those two. And we realized that we both loved beer and that beer was just beginning to change. And the idea of craft beer and having a modern, interesting alternative to the sort of monolithic macro lagers on the bar was just starting to happen. And we were drinking some imported American beers that are now ubiquitous, but at the time were revolutionary, and thought we want to get into this game. And at the time agonized over a reason why. We felt we needed a cause, and are very thankful that we went through that process. And we realized that we hated drinking bad beer at gigs, and we loved beer, we loved going to live music, and unfortunately for us, those two things didn't come together very often. So we went on a bit of a crusade to bring our two loves together and essentially brew beer that makes music better and create unforgettable experiences through the power of incredible beer and great music. And in the early days, that manifested itself by us collaborating with bands and musicians and taking their beers on tour, taking their beers to festivals and venues around the country and using them as a mouthpiece to introduce the idea of better beer to music fans in their natural habitat of a live music venue. And that got us into some amazing venues, some amazing festivals. It was also incredibly exciting for two, you know, mid-20s guys going on tour with some amazing artists and drinking beer with them in some interesting places was not a bad first job. And it started the sort of the journey of Signature Brew. We morphed it into the brewery it is now, which is ostensibly more of a normal brewery. We sell to high street pubs, local independent pubs, as well as incredible music venues and festivals. We turned into this brewery in about 2015, built our first proper brewery, started hiring our first brewers and sales team and delivery drivers in 2016, and then went on the journey to turning it into what it is now, which is one of the most exciting breweries in the UK. That second half of the journey was first funded by our first fundraise in 2015. We did a now in comparison quite small crowdfunder to build to buy our first brew house, and from there we were able to start putting together our core range as it is now and sort of building that up, as well as still working with amazing artists, and that's something that's been concurrent throughout the entire time. That first sort of build of Signature into the brewery it's become helped us win the Brew of the Year for the first time in 2018, as you referenced. That was a real sort of affirmation that what we were doing was interesting and our way of reaching drinkers in this unique way and this new way of getting the word out that beer can be interesting and exciting was something that people were really latching onto and brought us that award. And off the back of that, we crowdfunded for a second time in 2019, early 2019, to build what is the state-of-the-art brewery we're now in and is capable of handling our long-term production. We then completed that process and that project in November 2019. So we had a pretty short window before COVID hit. It was an absolute blessing to have that completed and our new home there for us during that period, because we were able to pivot effectively and still grow through what was an extremely difficult time. We still grew, considering 85% of our beer went into the on-trade at that time. And for those unfamiliar, the on-trade is pubs, bars, anywhere you would drink beer or drinks in the establishment, and the off-trade is supermarkets and shops. So 85% of our beer was going into the on-trade at the onset of COVID, and yet we managed to continue to grow throughout that. And that was delivered by a couple of pivots and projects that really served us well. And we've continued to progress throughout that period, and it's been difficult, as it has for all businesses in the hospitality industry, especially independent businesses in the hospitality industry. But we've managed to continue moving forward, and that's kind of in the DNA of our team and our people, is to just keep doing what we can. And that's led us to a point now where we are brewing 2.6 million pints a year. We're sold in over 400 venues across the UK, tracking for £5.3 million revenue this year. And most importantly, having dealt with the cost of living crisis that was brought on from the Ukraine war, we're now profitable and cash generative in 2023.
Thank you very much. So what I'd like to do now, Tom, is move on and look at the market that you're operating in and how Signature fits in to that picture. Because, of course, there's lots of breweries out there from smaller operations all the way up to the multinationals. Craft beer is now becoming more mainstream than it was some years ago. So the question is, where do you fit within the market? How do you differentiate yourself from the other players out there? And I think this is a key point that investors are going to be interested in, is how do you scale your success so far into this market to grab more market share?
It's a good question. And there's part of the answer is we are like many other breweries. So we just have the fundamentals you'd expect from most breweries. So we've got an award-winning core range that is produced at our state-of-the-art brewery, which is genuinely one of the most high-tech breweries you're going to find in London. All of our core range have 2-star Great Taste Awards, and they're brilliant beers in their own right. But beyond that, we have not just captivating branding that is in tune with the music ethos and the positioning of the brand, but we have a way of marketing the brewery and the company that is genuinely unique and allows us to reach audiences unlike any other brewery and essentially gives us exponential growth potential that is pretty incredible and I think arrogantly sort of, you know, once in a generation sort of style of business in our space, and it's an industry we're well plugged into. I grew up in the space, and we're advised by some people who've known the beer industry for a long time. We're very excited about what we've managed to build. And for us as entrepreneurs, you're always more excited about the years ahead. But we're pretty proud of what we've achieved so far. Music driving the growth is the key component to what we do, and we want to target having a quarter of our venues having music-centric venues. So they want to signify to their audience that they care about music, and they partner with Sinctuary as a result of that. So that entree positioning is critical, and it offers a unique and authentic connection with music to those venues, and then that translates to our audience as well. We obviously market ourselves through gigs, events, and festivals, and as I said in the first question, it's all about creating those unforgettable experiences by bringing those two great things together. And in total, we managed to reach 2.6 million people a year through that, and through their love of having a great beer whilst there's great music on. And music is the biggest entertainment industry in the world, ahead of sport. So it's a logical one to immerse ourselves in authentically. And you see loads of the big brands try and position themselves with their music, and it often comes through as sort of a bit synthetic and a bit sterile. And I think what we produce is some of that's far more authentic, believable, and easier to buy into. We work with artists continuously. Artist collaborations was the thing that got Sinistra off the ground in the first place. But there's been a concurrent association with some of the most incredible musicians in the world throughout the last 12 years since we've been doing this. We continuously work with new artists from all sorts of demographics, and that allows us to reach their audiences, and that's the critical component here. And it's been the reason we've worked with artists throughout the entire journey, is because if we work with them effectively, and we can touch on the way Sinistra's always worked with bands and musicians, but also tie in modern marketing and modern influencer marketing to reach their new audiences or their audience, then we can get exponential increasing awareness through that. We work with brand partnerships as well. Working with the likes of Shaw, who are the world's most famous microphone producers, and they sponsor our tap handles, and which are obviously microphones. And they sponsor us for that. Or we work with aligned brands like Doc Martens or Dickies, who aesthetically are similar to what Sinistra are doing. And all of this is held in what we call the community. So if anyone goes on our website, they can see the community, which basically is the home for all of our genre-defining partner artists, alongside those globally aligned brands and venues that we work with. It provides a sort of central framework for engaging with the audiences, driving awareness, and utilizing all of the associations with artists we've had, and people seeing the breadth of work we've done there, the diversity of artists we work with across all different demographics and genres, can only serve to convince people that we're doing something genuinely unique and exciting, and it's worth checking us out. I think we've come to realize that the concept of Sinistra Brew has always been pretty big, and it's taken us this time to sort of build the business up to reach the same sort of size of that, if you like. The business has caught up with the concept, and now we're able to almost deliver on the power of this association with some of these amazing artists. The number of followers they've got in total is absolutely enormous. And they support us in numerous ways, whether it's making a beer with us, playing at our venue, going on tour with us, or investing. We've had a number of incredible artists invest in the brewery in this round and in previous rounds because they care about the project and enjoy it, but also see where it's headed.
Thank you there. So you mentioned there about artists investing in Sinistra Brew, and I want to move on now and discuss Sinistra Brew as an investment proposition. Of course, as we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, currently on Cedars at the moment in overfunding 113% of the target. So, of course, there is interest from investors, there's strong interest from investors. But I want to get your views now, Tom, on you know, where you see Signature Brew going in the future and what investors can expect. And I think it'd be good if you'd be able to bring in some other stories, success stories from the industry, just to give some scale of where this business could go to in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we've done previous fundraisers, it's been a CapEx focused fundraise because we've needed to buy a new canning line or build a brewery. And that has been the focus of the fundraise and the use, the majority of the funds. This time it's about capitalizing on an opportunity that we have ahead of ourselves. And breweries go from the £5 million revenue mark to £10 million revenue mark. Rarely in our industry, you're putting your head above the parapet. But it's a crucial period of time because when you reach £10 million, in our industry, you are generally in the shop window, so to speak, with regards to those global brewers and them looking to add your brands to their portfolio and your business to their portfolio. Now, you have to reach that £10 million mark as quickly as you can to prove to everyone that this brand is catching fire. We have one opportunity to go from the point we are now to that £10 million mark. For us, we have all of the necessary ingredients to go and do that fast growth in place, with the exception of the funds for a significant sales and marketing budget. So when I say everything's in place, we've got the brewery there capable of handling the growth. We've got the key people in each department who've been on the journey we're going on before, that they've been on it before. We've got brands that people love and care about and are aesthetically in tune with what we're doing. We've got the platform with a great base of sales in London, the UK, with 400 stockists. And we've got route to market established across all of the UK. So all of the key cities we're targeting have routes to market for us established. But we've been in hustle mode since summer last year because of the massive increase in costs, and therefore had to severely reduce our marketing budget to make sure that we were being sustainable and cash generative. And what we want to do is not move away from being those two things, but raise funds so we can increase the marketing budget and go and capitalize on this massive opportunity ahead of us. And you asked about predecessors in our industry. Well, Camden Town, Beavertown, and Meantime are three breweries who've been through this process. So yeah, so all three of those breweries nailed it with regards to growing through this period quickly and effectively, making their brands established in the on-trade, which is critical to building saleable brands. And that's something that we've got laid out in front of us and can absolutely execute. I suppose the key differential for us is we can not only deliver on that same growth that those breweries did, but we have global potential in terms of our ability to replicate the Sinchwe model in other territories. So we take our beers to Italy, for example, where we are exporting at the moment, and work with people in the music space in Italy to bring the Sinchwe Brew world to life and to replicate the model that we've got for that audience, working with Italian artists, working with Italian venues, and suddenly Sinchwe Brew Italy is born. And could be a sort of microcosmic version of the brewery that we built in the UK. Likewise, we'll do the same in a smaller version for when we go to all the key cities across the UK. So partner with the right Manchester venues and festivals, and then partnering with some Manchester artists to deliver on what's worked so well for us in London. And I think that's where we can potentially sell a great deal of upside value in Signature Brew compared to those other breweries who've gone before and ultimately been built on UK sales and have since their exits only really delivered on UK sales.
Thank you. So it was quite interesting, Tom, that you mentioned there that transition from a £5 million revenue generating business to a £10 million one, and how that brings in potential interest from global breweries. So I want to take that context and look at the Cedars campaign now and ask, you know, why now do you feel is an important point to raise capital, And what are you going to be spending it on? And will that take you through, do you feel, to that 10 million mark that then you become a real potential target from some global players?
So, yeah, I mean, firstly, the why now is because we're going to hit £5.5 million revenue this year. And it's critical that we don't spend the next 2 years, 24 and 25, just continuing in the lean mode we are growing 20-30%. We want to push harder than that and achieve something that no one else is in our industry, and really make Sainsbury's the most exciting and the most desirable brewery in the space. And we genuinely believe we can do that. The funds will be used for, as I touched on before, marketing budget. So we completely slimmed down our marketing over the last 12 months, or the spend in marketing. We can achieve pretty impressive stuff considering we spend so little in it. But the budget has often been below 2% of revenue, and we want to push that back up towards 8%. There is also a sales acquisition fund. So in the brewing industry, to get on the medium-sized groups or the larger venues, there is a cash requirement. So there'll be a listing fee as well as rebates to bring on these groups. And whilst it's not a cost, because the cost is covered by the lifetime of the deal, there's a cash element there, which obviously has been difficult over the last 12 months as it's been such challenging times for us. There is a festival strategy fund whereby if we're proactive in the festival space, we can bring on a significant amount of revenue and do so without it being loss-making as well. I think there's a presumption that selling beer to festivals comes at a significant cost, and whilst it's not easy, you can do it effectively. So by our analysis, in the medium-sized festival space where we thrive and can operate well, 8 out of 10 festivals at least break even, if not make a profit. And if you can do a critical mass, so let's say for simple maths, if you do 10, 8 will work. The 8 will cover the 2 that aren't so great. But it's getting to that critical mass, because there are listing fees again involved there. So we pulled back massively from the festival space this year, and we think we gave up about £450,000 to £500,000 of the revenue this year, and because we didn't have the funds to go into that space as much as we wanted to. There is a small amount of CapEx just to increase some of the ancillary services to the brewery. And then lastly, there's a working capital provision.
Thank you very much. So what I'd like to do now is just really focus on the involvement of bands and musicians and artists with Signature Brew. We have discussed it on the podcast so far, but I really want to get a flavour as to the relationship. You said that some artists have invested in the company and some are obviously helping with promotion. It would be good to give a little bit more detail, if you may, Tom, because this, from my perspective, really sets Signature Brew apart. So I think this is important for investors, potential investors, to understand how you're working with these artists and what their involvement is with Signature Brew.
Yeah, well, yeah, and it's for us one of the most exciting parts of the business. It's been built into our DNA since day one. It's now our heritage, and ultimately the authentic association with artists is our secret weapon. You can't replicate working with that breadth of artists for that long length of time overnight. You have to go and do the hard yards and make it work, and work with some of those amazing people. We've done over 60 collaboration brews with bands from all over the world. That's more than any other brewery in the world. The likes of Alt J, Idols, Skints, Big Journey, Hot Chip, Darkness, Sports Team, Mastodon, Hustle Records, Mogwai, Frank Turner, Harriet, have all brewed beers with us and played shows with us. We've also created venues, and we've got a music venue inside our state-of-the-art brewery, which is a 500 cap venue, one of the most unique and iconic venues in the country, playing shows week in, week out. So we've built this amazing brewery with a venue in. We've got a live music venue in East London as well, in Haggerston, and both of those are places where exciting things happen all the time. So we proactively work with artists like the ones I just mentioned, but also we have amazing people just turn up unannounced to have a pint or jump on stage. So Skrillex, Tony Hawk, the skater, Tinchy Strider have all jumped on stage in recent times. Steve Harris from Iron Maiden, Kate Nash have turned up for a show over the last few months. And it's just one of those things that happens at Singapore. People are interested in it, and so are the artists. And as I said earlier, we also work with artists on a more meaningful level in terms of them investing in us. So we have a sort of a pyramid, if you like, of how we work with different size artists. And this is entirely scalable going forward, all underpinned by agreements with the artists and key deliverables, which is perhaps a progression for us. As you know, in the early days, we were just almost asking for favors, and now we can be a bit more professional with it. But on the smallest level, we're working with growing brands in grassroots music, where we're just providing them with rider and they're shouting about the brewery, all the way up to global icons such as The Prodigy and Robbie Williams, who've supported the brewery, who are perhaps doing things for us, not just publicly, but behind the scenes with introductions to the right people and everything else in between that. And then going forward, what we'll be doing is with a greater budget, and we've achieved some incredible collaborations and associations with artists almost on a shoestring up to this point, but with a bit more budget, we will work with four artists a year doing underplay shows at the brewery, working with us on a beer and building an entire campaign around them. They're almost like the tent poles throughout each year that form central elements to our marketing strategy. And we've been working with a guy called Michael Bowler, who's the head of marketing for Doc Martens, who has helped take what is in our deck, the concept of things, and turn it into a deliverable marketing strategy, which builds awareness nationally and helps deliver the growth that we need to.
Fantastic, thank you. So the final two points here are really setting out a roadmap of where you're going, as well as looking at some of the milestones that Signature Brew have recorded in the past. So, you know, Tommy, I think you said you've been there for 12 years. You know, would you be able to give some highlights? You've obviously been through many in the podcast so far, but would you be able to pick out specific highlights from your time at Signature Brew, please, to give shareholders an idea of some key events, you know, potential investors as well, of that's happened, and then we're going to move on and then look at, you know, what excites you about Signature Brew going forward from this point forward.
I mean, as I touched on, there's barely a week that goes by that something interesting or exciting doesn't happen at Signature Brew. It's a pretty exciting place to work, and one of the things that I'm trying to always remind our team of is we make great beer. We have a music venue in the middle of the brewery where amazing people come and play all the time. We can drink the beer and watch these amazing artists. If we don't find this job fun, then we probably shouldn't be doing it, because it is and it's great, and I think we, you know, we're rare or getting rarer in the world where we create something tangible so you can enjoy it, and it does get you into some insane places. You know, I ended up on an episode of Celebrity Hunted last year because a household comedian took refuge at the brewery and knew us, so he came down for a pint and hid out. And it also gives us a platform to do good things as well, and that's great, and that feels really good too. So, you know, a couple of examples, you know, during COVID, obviously everyone found it very difficult, and the hospitality and music industry especially found it very difficult. So when the onset of COVID came, we immediately pivoted to create a product called Pub in a Box, and that was purely to help us generate some sales. But we realized that every single musician in the country had just had all of their tours and gigs and festivals cancelled. So we hired out-of-work musicians who needed the help to deliver our beer for us. And they were the ones driving around London, driving around the UK, delivering our Pub in a Box packages to people who were supporting the brewery. And that got us a lot of coverage and was felt good to be able to support the musicians when they needed it. And then as we came out of the lockdowns in 2021, we decided to launch a campaign called Beer Grants, which is basically contacting independent venues all over the country saying, apply for beer grants with Signature Brewing. We'll send you free beer to sell on that first week when you open, so you can have a chance of getting your doors open without immediately starting to build up the bills. So we gave away £250,000 of the beer as part of our beer grants campaign to help independent venues across the UK. And it was actually that campaign that helped us win the Brew of the Year for the second time, which obviously was a huge pat on the back for the team and something that we really appreciated. So giving ourselves a platform to do those altruistic, exciting campaigns is something that we really care about. And we also can use our venues to celebrate all types of music from all sorts of backgrounds, with a particular focus on you know, celebrating diversity and being inclusive and bringing in all sorts of people. And I think our venues are absolutely incredible at that. Moving forward, we want to make sure that we're working with our shareholders more than we have had before. And that's both with anyone who's supported us up to this point in previous raises, but also those who are joining us now. I think we have a huge resource there of you know, 1,000 shareholders who are enormously supportive and care about the brewery. So we want to make sure that we're providing information regularly, giving themselves an opportunity to get involved with the brewery, whether it's coming to a show, coming to drink a beer with us, hang out. We'll do regular events, but we'll also do sort of showpiece events where everyone's invited. And as we take the beer around the country to some of the key cities across the UK, we'll also signpost when we're going to be there. So, you know, we're aware that not all of our shareholders are based in London. So we'll give ample opportunity for those around the UK to come and say hello and come and just enjoy Signature Brewing and ask us anything and celebrate what we're doing.
Great. So, you know, and this is a final point here, Tom, and this is really from a potential investor's perspective that may be looking at Cedars and thinking that they may want to get involved with the campaign. You know, what are the key things that you would say to them going forward from a business perspective that they should keep an eye out for, and what you think is really going to drive this company forward?
Well, this is highly likely the last time we raise funds before we reach that £10 million revenue mark and basically enter the process of targeting a liquidity event and executing the exit strategy, which is providing the return to our shareholders who've supported us up to this point. We work with an advisor called Arlington Partners who underpin this strategy, and we understand that the M&A activity in the brewery space will come back around over the next 12-18 months, perfectly timed for the point where Signature Brew will be at the right size to be a consideration in that regard. So for us, delivering on the national growth over the next 12 months, delivering on the awareness piece and building the noise around Signature Brew in a way that we know only we can, is what's driving us. And then targeting that point in time to provide the next phase of growth for Signature Brew and the next step forward, whilst also providing a return for the shareholders, is the sort of key target.
That's great, Tom. Thank you very much. So just as a note to listeners, do check out the notes to this podcast, because there will be a link through to the Cedars page, Signature Brew's Cedars page, where you'll be able to find out some more details, download their deck, look at the videos and find out some more details about their campaign. So Tom, thank you very much for being with us today.
No worries. Cheers, Jonathan. My pleasure.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.